Whichever organization you belong, you need to go through a lot of processes for a long time to become a leader. For example, for a new recruit to become a president, he has to start off from the lowest position and go all the way up to presidency, which takes decades of time. But this isn't the case for any employee. It's possible when he is recognized for his capabilities and achievements. The same goes for titles. There are, for new, how many, for a new recruit to be promoted to president, it's very rare. The same goes for titles in the church. When we are recognized for our faith, achievements, and fruits, we can receive a higher title. And elders who are, they have to be recognized and they have to demonstrate hard work. They are so picked among the many members. For an employee to become president, it's harder than that. Because to become an elder is harder than that. So how blessed and honored you must be today. If you cherish your title and live up to it, God will also recognize you. How thankful you should be for that. Each of your parish and people recommend it, and they have to go through some processes and screening process, and they now become inaugurated. But you also have to think about the God's standard towards the inaugurated workers. You have to There's a strict processes and standards, and that's how they receive the title today. Another thing we have to think about is, you have to think about whether you are recognized, acknowledged by God or not. You have to also inaugurate workers and you have to, if you recommend the wrong person, it's so, if you are thus receiving a title in the kingdom of God is such a great honor and blessing which cannot be compared to any titles and positions in the world. For you who are receiving such precious titles, God gives a message under the title Salt and Light. Hopefully, all of you who are inaugurated today ponder over how you should act to be found proper before God as elders and senior deaconesses, and have a blessed time to solidify your resolve once again. I urge all of you to become the salt and light in the world, give glory to God, and be honored all the more by God, the church, and the congregation. In doing so, I ask in the name of the Lord that all of you will become competent elders and senior deaconesses who accomplish the world evangelization. Brothers and sisters, as we find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus did not speak to people without a parable. Namely, He explained things of the spiritual realm, comparing them to tangible things in this world, and revealed heaven. Through today's message, Salt and Light, as well, our Lord is giving us very significant lessons. Then, what spiritual meanings are embedded in salt? First, it plays a crucial role in maintaining our life. As for a healthy person, his blood has a salt concentration of 0.9%, keeping our bodies functioning properly. When we sweat a lot, if we drink water, just because we drink water does not mean the salt is supplied. So, soldiers, if you have been in a military, if you march for a long time, you have to drink not only water, but salt, because salt is drained out through sweating. That's why you have to take in salt as well, along with water. You may say that, of course, also the food we eat also contains salt. That's how they keep our body functioning properly. Salt is also put in a lot of dishes to add flavor and taste. So Jesus said in today's passage, "You are the salt of the earth." Namely, the verse means that we believers have to melt ourselves like salt and exemplify the taste of Christ wherever we are. Worldly people indulge in eating and drinking and live in pursuit of their benefits and greed. But people who have accepted the Lord as their Savior know that they have eternal life. So they root out untruth from them and diligently change themselves into truth. As we circumcise our hearts and recover the Lord's image, we can sacrifice ourselves like the Christ sacrificed His body, thereby exemplifying the taste of Christ. Then, we can perfectly perform the duty of the salt, purifying what is dirty and ugly and preventing decay. We are set apart from the world. But being set apart from the world does not mean ignoring the world. While we have to set apart from the darkness, we have to become the light among them. And we have to become like the salt, which is preventing decay and cleansing what is dirty. Some people, some Christians, they just cut off the worldly people and they don't share the gospel and they point fingers at the worldly people. It's not about that. We have to become the salt and we have to speak the truth and we have to set a good example. So when they see us, they will think we are truly living a good life and we are receiving blessings because we live a good life and because we are providing, and they would wonder who is God that they believe. That way we have to become the salt. We should not point out their sins or point out the evil and criticize them. Then you will be hated by the worldly people. How we have to know how we are applying the truth. Some people, they remember what I said, when they met the relatives and families, they didn't have disputes with them, and they smiled at them more, and they were in peace during the holiday, and they formed a good relationship with the relatives and families. As such good deeds pile up, as you become recognized, even when you share the gospel, they will listen. But while you say that you believe in God, but you, in order to become the, you know, there are grains of salt, and there are salts like powder. And they have to be melted in food. And that they have to be melted to give taste and flavor. You have to change yourself in the truth. And And you have to shine the light of grace to the worldly people, and you give off the light. This is how to become the salt. But if you just point out others' mistakes and fault, if we hate the worldly people's, if we just then that way, how could you share the gospel with them? How could you play the role of salt and light? You have to think about this well, and you have to do the roles of the salt and light. Next, what roles does light play? Light has power to illuminate darkness. No matter how pitch dark night is, once the sun rises, houses and streets which have been covered in darkness come into bright light. In darkness, it's difficult to tell where we are headed, and we are likely to trip over something. But in daylight, it's easy to find our ways and avoid dirty places. In this world darkened by sins and evil like this, we, God's children, should become the light to drive away the darkness. That's why today's passage says, "You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Here, light signifies the aroma of Christ spiritually. Let's say when someone slaps your right cheek, you turn to him the left one. You give your coat when asked for a shirt. When you are asked to go 1 mile, you go 2 miles. Then you are giving off the aroma of Christ and shining the light. Therefore, you can save many dying souls and give glory to God, just as a grain of wheat falls into the earth and bears much fruit. I believe that all of you who are inaugurated today are assigned precious titles because you've carried out the roles of salt and light well. But you shouldn't think that all things are finished with this inauguration service. Starting today, you should always examine and discover yourselves with all the more fear and trembling. In doing so, you shouldn't lack anything in carrying out God-given precious duties. Brothers and sisters, all inaugurated workers, for us to carry out the role of salt and light properly, we have to glorify God through good deeds, as we find in today's passage. Let your light shine before man in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The verse means that when our roles of salt and light are manifested as good deeds, namely, deeds of doing good in pursuit of the truth, people give glory to God. As they see you, they will give glory to God. They will think, as I look at him, this is how believing in God is. I also want to believe in God. That way, they give glory to God as well. As you live in the light, as you demonstrate good deeds, they do that. Then, what are good deeds specifically? We will divide them into three categories. First, good deeds is lowering ourselves. Our Jesus was originally one with God, as we find in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Yet, He lowered Himself and came to this earth, taking the form of a man, His creature, and suffered all kinds of mockery and persecution by evildoers. He also completely fulfilled the will of the Father God until He shed all His water and blood on the cross. Thus, it's only natural that God's children also resemble the Christ, lower themselves, and take the form of a servant. Taking the form of a servant means not having our own will. Regardless of whether something is in agreement with our feelings or the way things are, we just do whatever the master wants. This is the duty of a servant. If a servant doesn't lower himself, how could he accept his master's will? It would be even more difficult to please him. Likewise, in order to fulfill God's will, We should first lower ourselves. Even though John the Baptist performed a significant duty of preparing the Lord's way and making his paths straight, he only accepted and lived according to God's will without boasting of himself. As John the Baptist testified of the Christ, he said, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." He demonstrated the humility of highly exalting the Christ by lowering himself down to the bottom. Also, when his disciples complained, saying, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him." As the disciples of John the Baptist complained, John the Baptist replied, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Since he completely lowered himself and only pursued God's will, Jesus highly regarded him, saying, "Among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist." If you also lower yourselves and put yourself to death and always obey even what is not in agreement with your thoughts and theories, you can fully accomplish God's will for this church. As Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 23, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." As you rise to higher positions in the kingdom of God, you have to lower and humble yourselves even more. Those who lower themselves can understand others' heart. Even when they are not in the leadership, they joyfully obey and unite. So there is peace wherever they go. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you will lower yourselves and achieve peace like our Jesus emptied himself and took a form of a servant so that you can receive honor and praise from God. And now you will become the leaders, and you are leaders among the congregation, but you have to lower yourselves more. Even when something does not agree with your thoughts, even though you have to obey, this is not difficult. Our church workers have obeyed well. Whenever I make a decision, they don't complain, they don't refute me, but they obey well. It's not something difficult, but even in your parish, even in your cell group and mission group, you have to obey. As long as something is not sin, you are to obey. This is how you lower yourself. And you may think of, as long as something is not sin, you can adjust yourselves to your leaders, and that way you can But lowering yourselves, in the world, lowering yourself means obeying your boss. But lowering yourself in God is to even though someone is lower than you, you respect them and honor them. This is the kind of things that God wants from us. Brothers and sisters, to glorify God through good deeds, secondly, we have to serve. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This remark exemplifies true service. Serving is not just about being humble, but sacrificing ourselves to benefit others and provide their needs. This is the kind of goodness Father God wants.
Being
out in the world, they don't sacrifice themselves. But God's goodness is to sacrifice ourselves and to give away what we have. This is so when we talk about but some people, they only give when they can give. They lower themselves only when can they lower themselves. But other times, they don't lower themselves and give. And they set a limit. This is not God's goodness. We have to know well about the God's standards. But people adjust things to their own standards, and they ask God to heal them or answer them, but God doesn't answer them. What does God want from us? We have to, and those who are inaugurated today, you will receive the title, and then God has a high standards for you because you are not normal, ordinary members. So that means you have to sacrifice yourself more, you have to serve more. You shouldn't set a limit in serving others, but you have to do what you are able to serve. Serve more than what you are able to serve. Just as mothers don't look after themselves in love for their children, just as salt melts itself to give taste despite losing its form, serving is letting go of ourselves and wholly achieving the love of Christ. People say, I've worked hard and I've been faithful, but they want their names to be, let's say you work hard, but no one recognizes you, and all the credit goes to another person. Then, even so, you don't feel uneasy. Even though you dedicated yourself, even though things ended well by your sacrifice, but you don't get credit, another person gets all the credit. Even though another person is praised, you are to be rejoiced. But worldly people consider this a foolish. But God, God uses such a person. You may want but if we let go of ourselves, if we do what more than we can do, if we serve, then God will exalt you and acknowledge you.
It's
like, and like mothers, they don't insist on their self. Even when their babies wake up in the middle of the night, they don't complain. Even though their hard work is not recognized, they still diligently take care of their babies. And some parents, however, once their children grow up, they want to receive something in return. Some parents want to be served, and when their children don't serve them, they feel upset. That means their service was fleshly. But we are not to being a newcomer, church workers have to sacrifice a lot. They have to take care of him and physically or this is the kind of service and faithfulness and devotion Father God wants. You, inaugurated workers, should do the same. You have to check whether you're doing so. Some people, want to be served and complain, and they, we have the inauguration service once a week, and there are people who, once, even after you become a leader, you have to serve more. By the way, there is an order in achieving service. First, we have to serve God. Serving God is turning away from evil, achieving sanctification, and most of all, loving God first and completely devoting ourselves. We should also serve people in higher positions. To apply this in your church life, you have pastors and leaders over you. To demonstrate true service for them, you are to share their burdens and wholeheartedly help them to achieve greater things for His kingdom. For example, if you are serving a pastor, you are to carry out your duties well and obey him in the Lord. But no matter how many times you say, "I love you," unless you obey and bear fruit, that confession cannot be truthful. When you find your opinion differing from those in higher positions, you can express yourselves. But I mean, on top of that, you have to understand his heart and handle things wisely. This is how you serve him the right way. Next, how can you serve those in lower positions? Whether they are wise or not, whether they are rich or poor, you are to respect their character, figure out their heart, and embrace them. Serving is not about doing as you please. You have to figure out what other people demand, how to make another person comfortable. You have to adjust yourself to them. This is serving. But just doing what you, whatever you want to do, and you just tell him to do this and that, actually, but what you prepare for him, another person does not even need it. You have to know. Some people like this, other people like that, but while you serve another person, when you serve, first you have to, whether you are just doing whatever you want and then you, have to check whether you have consideration and service. Even if they have mistakes and transgressions, you shouldn't deal with them emotionally, but advise and teach them through figurative speech. This is the kind of service that God wants from us. So I ask all the church leaders and people who are inaugurated today not to become haughty, but examine how sincerely you are serving others. Brothers and sisters, and inaugurated workers, lastly and thirdly, to give God, to give glory to God through good deeds, you are to become faithful ones like good stewards. The Bible says, as each one has received a special gift, employing it in serving another as good stewards of the humility, manifold grace of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Namely, as God assigns people of proper vessels, titles, and duties, He wants them to be faithful. For example, elders are those who help the pastor in running the church. So, in the absence of a pastor, they can preside over a service, which means they have to be, let's say there's no pastor. Elders have to give a sermon. So that's why elders, you have to be prepared to give a sermon. And elders also they can preside over the service in their cell group meetings, and they have to prepare themselves for that. They are authorized to give a sermon and guide, organize an event. That means they have to be faithful and have to set a good example in all areas. Only then can they become elders acknowledged by God. In addition to holy keeping the Sabbath and attending all official services, they should worship God in spirit and truth. Also, they should not neglect the basics like offering tithes. They are to pray without ceasing for the church, pastors, and souls, diligently share the gospel both in and out of seasons, and bear much fruit wherever they are. In doing so, they can please God and win the church members' respect and love. But what would happen if they only admonish others while not setting good examples? Since their words are not accompanied by spiritual authority, the church members cannot show heartfelt obedience. So, those who have been given a title should not only be recognized in the church through faithfulness, but also win recognition in their families and workplaces. They have to set a good example as fathers or husbands and become recognized out in the world as well. As everyone with God-given titles stays faithful wherever they are, the church becomes better and more advanced and stands on the rock all the more firmly. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters, and all inaugurated workers. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 tells us, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." To that end, you have to lower yourselves, accept God's will completely, serve others, and become faithful ones like good stewards. In the Bible, what kind of people gave glory to our God? Were they people with wealth and honor? Were they people with a lot of knowledge and good backgrounds? God was glorified by those who are righteous in heart, long for the truth, and shone the light. Joseph went to Egypt being sold as a slave, but he only walked the right path, thinking, "How could I sin against God?" Through him, God made a great nation of Israel and was glorified. Also, when the entire nation had committed idolatry, and gotten stricken with a severe drought as a result, God listened to the earnest prayer of Elijah and sent down the answers of fire and rain, demonstrating that only He is a true deity. Daniel was faithful to the point where he was found with no transgressions. When he was saved from the lion's den, God was greatly glorified in the presence of the Gentiles. Shouldn't you also magnify God that way? Particularly, people who are inaugurated today are acceptable, are established as elders and senior deaconesses of Mammoth Central Church, which has duties to accomplish the world and national evangelization, which means God has much expectation from you. You have to become the pillars of the church, fulfill God's will, become qualified for New Jerusalem, and play an integral part in guiding other members. I urge you to march all the more vigorously. Also, I pray in our Lord's name that all of you, Mammoth members, become the light and salt of the world, share the gospel of Christ to all peoples, and greatly reveal God's glory all over the earth.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away, May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.